Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Once again, reading responsibly, verses 1 through 10 of chapter 12, the text verse being the 10th verse. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's pray. And Father, do the work that thou wouldst be pleased to do in our midst. Of course, in order for you to work, you have to have cooperative people. Help our hearts to be receptive, our minds to be alert. Open our hearts, please, to the words that thou hast given the man of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, you're as strong as you are when you're weak. I want to read for you one of the verses read a while ago. And I've got the wrong chapter here, but I'll find it. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I want to call to your attention that one little line, when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, I ask you during from now on in the service not to take any pictures. I know some of you folks are here visiting. If you want to take pictures after the service, I'll pose for you in the alley with my shirt off, muscles up like that. Mr. Sumner can come and take some pictures for his paper if he'd like. But I'll be more than happy to do that. But please just listen carefully as I speak to you on the subject. You are as strong as you are when you are weak. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help me to help my people this morning. I pray you'd help me to be what my people need. I pray you'd encourage the hearts of those who are discouraged. I pray you'd lift the spirits of those who are downtrodden. I pray you'd bring back to yourself those away from God. I pray this morning you'd comfort those who are bereaved, cheer those who are sad. Use thy messenger this morning to be exactly what his people need. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. Actually, he was saying something like this. How strong is your weakest link? Or he's saying, you are as strong as you are when you're weak. In other words, I understand that that scripture means that when you are weak, God gives you strength. But there's more to it than that. I think he's saying this. I think he's saying you are only as strong as you are when you're weak. Paul is simply saying, when I'm weak, I'm still strong. That's what he's saying. He's saying my weakness still has strength in it. Or he's saying the same thing that I said in a chapter of one of my books, called How High Is Your Are Your Valleys. Paul was saying, when I am in the valley, I'm still higher than people who are on their mountaintops. Paul is saying that in his weakest moment, he still is stronger than most people are in their strongest moments. He was saying, basically, if you break in the valley, there will be no more mountains. I want to say that again. If you break in the valley, there will be no more mountains. Now, everybody has valleys. Everybody has mountains. Now, it's easy on a mountaintop. But when you come in the valley, if your valley is too low, then you will self-destruct, and you will not know any more mountains. You know, your disposition, for example, is only as good as it is on your worst day. I know people who have pretty good dispositions and are pretty nice people. But when they go down from the good disposition, they go down so deep in the valley, they lose their tempers and do things that they would never have done. They're not basically bad people or mean people or people possessed of the demon of temper all the time. But when they get down to a low point, they lose their temper and do things that will cause them not to have an opportunity to express their good disposition. I'll say this also. Your spirituality is as strong as it is on your most carnal day. Let me say it again. Your spirituality is as strong as it is on your most carnal day. You may be a moral person. You may be a morally clean person. And yet, at a moment of temptation, I wonder how many people who basically are not filthy-minded people, I wonder when they get down in a valley of temptation, they do something that causes them to wear for the rest of their lives the guilt of immorality. Why? Not because they were all the time immoral people. Basically, they were good moral people. But at a moment of weakness, their valley was not high enough. I'm saying there are people here this morning. Your disposition is wonderful, but your valley is not high enough. When you leave that good disposition and lose your temper, you go too low. That destroys your opportunity to be what you ought to be. The same thing is true, as I said, about the morals a while ago. There are people this morning in this room who are decent, good people. And yet, when you get a little moment of weakness morally, you find yourself glancing at a Playboy magazine or a Penthouse magazine or getting some kind of a movie and playing on your VCR. And before you know it, you've done something immoral because your valley of morality is not high enough. You see, every area of our lives, dispositions go like this. Nobody is exactly like this. Now, I work at it, and I try to be about the same all the time, but I cannot do that. But all of us, we go like this. Now, follow me carefully. You have got to raise your valley. Your mountain goes up, you've got to raise your valley. If you raise your valley, your temper will never do something that will destroy your mountaintops. If you raise your valley, your morals will never be that which will destroy your moral mountaintops. You've got to raise the valley. You've got to raise your lowest point. I know people who are basically happy people, and yet they get in a valley, and their valleys are too low, and they get down in the valley, and they'll commit suicide or even have a nervous breakdown. Why? Because their valley is not high enough. You are not as good a Christian as your mountain peak. You're as good a Christian as your valley. The height of your heights does not determine what you are. It's the height of your depths that determine what you are. And this morning, I know people, for example, your character is as strong as it is on your most vulnerable day. Your character is not as strong as it is when you're strong. Your character is as strong as it is when you're weak on your most vulnerable day. So, I'll say this. I would suggest to you that you don't work on your mountain peaks. They'll take care of themselves. I suggest you work on your valleys. I suggest to you that you don't work on lifting the mountaintop. I'd suggest you work on raising the valley. Raise yourself at your hottest temper. Raise yourself at your most vulnerable time. Raise your valley. If you will raise your valley, then you can enjoy many, many other mountaintops. Elijah, for example. Elijah was not as strong as he showed on Mount Carmel. When he looked at the prophets of Baal and looked at King Ahab and said, let's just have a contest here and see who's God. He said, we'll just build an altar here and put a lamb on the altar. or an animal on the altar, and you have the prophets of Baal pray down and see if they can pray down fire to consume that sacrifice. And then I'll pray for Jehovah God to pray down fire and consume the sacrifice. And Elijah, they prayed and failed. Elijah prayed and fire came and consumed the sacrifice. Now Elijah was on a mountaintop. He was at his peak. He was at his zenith then. But that's not how strong Elijah was. Elijah was not as strong as he was on the mountaintop on Mount Carmel. Elijah was as strong as he was when Jezebel said, "I'll get you, Buster." And Elijah began to run from Jezebel and got under the juniper tree and said, "I'm the only one left," and got discouraged. You're not as encouraging a person as you are when you're most encouraged. You are as encouraging as you are when you're least discouraged. Elijah's strength was not shown on Mount Carmel. The measure of Elijah's strength was shown under the juniper tree. You take Peter on the day of Pentecost when he stood and preached and 3,000 people got saved. That's not the best test of the Apostle Peter. The best test of the Apostle Peter was when Jesus was being tried and wrongly crucified, Peter cursed and swore. He followed afar off and warmed the devil's crowd, the devil's fire. And Peter cursed and swore, denied the faith, denied his Lord, denied his salvation, denied everything. I'm saying, don't judge a person by what he is at his top. Judge a person by how high he is at the bottom. The same is true with David. Don't judge David by what he did when he killed Goliath. Judge David by what he did with Bathsheba and Uriah. The same is true with Noah. Noah built the ark, but after he got the ark built, he was naked and drunken, and an awful thing took place. Don't judge Noah. Noah's character is not judged by his building the ark. Noah's character is judged not by the height of his heights, but by the height of his depths. Same thing is true with Abraham. The real Abraham was not the one that offered Isaac on Mount Carmel. Moriah. I'll do the preaching here. But the real Abraham was the one who went into Egypt when the famine came. I'm saying Abraham would never have had that little gal Hagar if he had raised his depths. Elijah would never have gotten discouraged and run from Jezebel had he raised his depths. I'm saying this morning, I'll tell you what you are when you're at the bottom. I'll let you know what you are when things aren't going well. I'll measure your character. I'll measure what you are when you're going through the fire. Because that reveals what you are. The height of your depths, not the height of your heights. Take Joseph. Joseph did not show his real self when he was assistant to the king. Joseph showed his real self when he left his garment in the hand of Potiphar's wife and took off. Joseph revealed what he was when he was at the death. And Joseph also revealed what he was when he was wrongly accused. And when he was in prison, he revealed what he was. Now listen, folks, you're going to have some troubles. If your trouble hasn't come, it will come. If your heartache hasn't come, it's going to come. If your burden hasn't come, it's going to come. If your valley hasn't come, it's going to come. Life will not always be mountaintops for you. Life will not always be noontimes. Midnights have to come. Life will not always be sunshine. The clouds have to come. The storms have to come. Now listen, you raise the depths of your life, so when you have those depths and go down in the valley, you'll still be strong enough to make it so there can be mountaintops later on. John, beloved John, you can't measure John by what he was on Transfiguration Day. When Jesus, Peter, James, and John met with Moses and Elijah there on the Mount of Transfiguration, Mount Tabor, I think. And there Jesus was glorified, given his glorified body. And there they fellowshiped together. And Peter said, "Let's build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you, Jesus." And John was there. You can't measure John for the Transfiguration Day. You measure John by what he did on the Isle of Patmos when he was by himself. And he's exiled and alone. You measure him for the Isle of Patmos. Don't you measure Daniel by the fellow, what he did when he was chosen
to be one of the leaders of the God's people in captivity. You measure Daniel when Daniel said, I always pray three times a day, and by cracky, I'll still pray three times a day. And nobody's going to tell me when to pray. I'll pray as I've always prayed, and nobody's going to change me. When Daniel got down to the bottom, and the king said, "It's quit your praying or the lion's den." Daniel said, "I'm quitting nothing. I'm taking my stand for God and what I'm supposed to do." That's the real Daniel. Anybody can stand when the mountains, when the sun is shining on the mountaintop. Anybody can stand at noontime. You give me that fella who, when the midnights in his life come, and he still stands strong and firm. You give me that lady who, when the heartaches come, and the husband leaves her, and leaves her with a few children to rear by herself. You give me that lady who stands firm. You give me that young person, not only who, when he's in the popular, in the Christian crowd, he stands for God. You give me that young person that stands for God in the public school. You give me that young person who stands for God when he's out in the college, heathen college somewhere. You give me that person that stands for God, not just at church, but in the office building and the plant. And the factory, and the steel mill. You give me that person, when he's criticized, he holds up Jesus. When he's persecuted, he holds up Jesus. When he's laughed at, he holds up Jesus. You give me that person who says, by the grace of God, I'll stand for him when he's popular. I'll stand for him when he's unpopular. I'll stand for him when he's praised. I'll stand for him when he's cursed. I'll stand for him when he's exalted. I'll stand for him when he's defamed. I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. Yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. The Lord of Lords supreme. Through all eternity, the great I am. The way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. I'm saying, if you want to test the strength of Job, don't you test the strength of Job when his family was all together and he had riches and camels and oxen and asses and all and popularity. You check Job's real character when you find him with his popularity gone and his wealth gone and his children gone and his wife's gone and his friends are betraying him. And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he'll stand again at the last day. That's what we need today. Christian people who will say, when I'm on top, I'll praise my God. When I'm on bottom, I'll praise my God. When I'm on the throne, I'll praise my God. When I'm in jail, I'll praise my God. I'll sing it, I'll tell it, wherever I go. I want all to hear it. I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow, for I have been born again. Paul said, when I'm weak, I'm still strong. He did not say he was stronger than he was when he was strong. Paul did not say, when I'm weak, I'm stronger than I was. He said, I'm still strong. If you want to test the strength of this church, test it today. If you want to test the character of First Baptist Church of Hammond, don't test it on the 100th anniversary celebration. Test it today. If you want to test the loyalty and love of First Baptist Church of Hammond, don't test it back yonder when we had 100,000 people in all of our Sunday schools and 44,000 here on this ground. You test it on Memorial Day, 1989. You test it when the clouds and the shadows are there. Let me tell you something. This is the greatest church on the face of the earth. I don't care what Mr. Sumner lies. This is the greatest church on the face of the earth. The greatest. I'm not going to chant like he said I do. He said that when I get up, I say, what's the greatest church in the world? And people say, First Baptist Church of Hammond. And who's the greatest soul-winning preacher in the world? And the people say, First Baptist Church of Hammond. We're not going to do that. We never have, by the way. But I want to say this, and I hope Mr. Sumner gets the tape. I want to say this. This church, the people sitting in this auditorium now, hear me carefully, are the cleanest, most decent, most moral, most evangelistic, most soul-winning people on the face of God's green earth. I'm simply saying, now then, when the clouds of testing come, the old First Baptist Church joins ranks, and the greatness is really shown. You show me how you are in the valley, and I'll show you what kind of person you really are. Don't look at Anniversary Sunday. Don't look at Spring Program. Look at Memorial Day. 1,000 folks gone from college. First big weekend of the year. Hundreds of our people gone for the weekend. Our summer school crowd gone home between semesters or sessions. And look at here this morning. Look at here this morning. I'm simply saying, in the valley, that's when the real you shows forth. That's when the real you stands up. If you want to see a successful Sunday school teacher, now don't misunderstand me, I'm not criticizing. If you want to see a successful Sunday school teacher, don't show me the one that won the contest during the spring program. Though he or she may be. But let me see what that Sunday school teacher does in the summertime. Let me see what he or she does in June, July, and August, when there's no contest to win. There's no trip to win. It's not easy to have a great crowd. The tide is not coming in, it's going out. You let me see that teacher, how much he or she visits in the summertime, and I'll tell you what kind of teacher they are. You let me see how many of their pupils they minister to in the summertime, and I'll tell you what kind of teacher they are. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, we have a chance this summer, as never in the history of this great church, to show the real greatness of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Don't, if you want to give me a great bus worker, don't give me the one that just won the contest during the big spring program. You give me the one that keeps on going when the spring program is over. You give me the one that works as hard in July as he does in April. You give me the one who works as hard because he loves Jesus as much as he does because he wants to win a prize. You give me that one who, when nobody else is doing it, and the clouds are low, and it's midnight, and in the light, and the crowds are down, and it's summertime, and it's hot summertime, and it's hard. You give me that one who's instant, in season, out of season, fervent in spirit, always serving God. That's what the real great Sunday school teacher and bus worker is all about. You want to see the greatness of that sailor minister back there? We'll see it this summer. We'll see it this summer. We won't judge it with the spring program. We'll judge it with the summer slump. I'm saying we've got to make this summer not a summer slump, but a summer jump. A summer hump. A summer bump. That's pretty good, isn't it? What a sermon outline. Bump, hump, jump, no slump. But that's what greatness is. Greatness is not the peacetime army. Greatness is the wartime army. When the crowds are there, you want to see, we'll find out how great the Spanish ministry is. We'll find out how great the sailor ministry is. We'll find out how great the bus ministry is. We'll find out how great the Sunday school is. We'll find out. Why? Because real character is instant in season, out of season, always fervent in spirit, always serving God. We'll find out how what kind of fishermen's clubs we have. We'll find out what kind of foster club. Ask your question, fisherman club. How many of you got ready to walk the aisle this morning? I'll test your greatness. Ask your question, foster clubs. How many of you have ready to walk the aisle this morning? I'm testing your greatness. Your greatness is not shown by the height of your mountains. Your greatness is shown by the height of your valleys. Your greatness is not shown by what you are on your best day. Your greatness is shown what you are on your worst day. Listen, I don't care whether it's a family, a marriage, a church, a college, any institution, a friendship. I don't care what it is. You are what you are at on in your valley, and not what you are at your strength. I'm encouraged. I'm going to be personal now. I'm encouraged. I'm not my strongest right now. I'll confess it. I may be right now my weakest. But I'm encouraged because I'm still strong. I'm ready for the fight. I don't want to fight, but I'm here to fight to the finish. You choose your weapons, brass knuckles, sabers, M1 rifles. Choose it. I don't want to fight. I don't like to fight. But bless your little pea-picking heart, I don't run. I don't run. I'm simply saying I'm encouraged. I'm at my weakest. I really am. I'm not as strong as I was 4 or 5 months ago. But I'll tell you what. At my weakest, I'm still strong. And I'll bind you one thing. At my weakest, I'm probably stronger than 99% of the preachers in America today. That's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, I'm weak, but bless God, I found out something. Even when I was my weakest, I still was strong. That's what he was saying. He was saying, my valley has been raised. I'm not on a mountaintop. I'm in the valley. I'm not in a great citywide campaign. I'm in jail. But he said, I've found I'm strong still. I'm encouraged. I'm not my happiest right now. I'm really not. I don't know why, just something tells me. But I'm not my happiest right now. But I guarantee you, at my least happy, I'm happier than my enemies are. And there's some here this morning. Yeah, I'm happier than you are. I'm simply saying, bless God, what Paul was saying. He was saying, good night. He was saying, he didn't say good night. He said, I'll swan. Or by cracky. But he said, good night, I've learned something. He said, I was just stoned. Not the kind of stones you were last night, but I was just stoned. And he said, I've learned something. He said, I'm down. He said, I was just left for dead outside the city of Lystra. But he said, I discovered something. He said, I discovered when my weakest time came, I was still strong. That's what he said. I was still strong. I think he was saying this. I think he was saying when I saw the cloud coming, and I know what I'm talking about. I saw the cloud coming. I wondered how, if I could take it. When I saw the cloud coming, I wondered how I could take it. When I saw the cloud coming, I wondered if I could bear up under it. But he said, now that the storm's here, he said, blessed be God. He said, I'm weak at my weakest, but he said, bless God, I'm still strong. And don't you undersell my strength. Sure, I'm weak. Sure, I'm not my happiest right now. But bless God, I'm happier than most people are at their happiest. I'll be honest with you. I'm not on a mountaintop right now. There are things I'd rather be enduring right now. But my valley is higher than most of your mountaintops. My valley looks down on most people's mountaintops. What Paul was saying was this. He was saying the clouds of adversity were on the horizon. And nobody's so cocky that they'll say, brother, I'll do this or I'll do that, that's got any sense. And Paul said, I looked out and I saw those clouds coming and I cringed and I thought, I wonder if I can take it and I wonder if I can make it. And Paul said, as they got here, he said, hallelujah, praise God. He said, I'm my weakest, but I'm still strong. I'm in my valley, but he said, my valley is still higher than most people's mountaintops. I'll be quite frank with you. I'm wounded. And I'm mad. Preacher shouldn't get mad. Well, nobody's perfect. I'm mad. I'm furious. I'm at my lowest. But I'm still looking down at most people. Because my lowest is high. And my weakest is strong. And my saddest is happy. And my mountain, my valley is high. Higher than most folks' mountaintops. Now you've got your valley. I've got mine. You've got yours. This church has hers. We're going to find out what you are. When the doctor says it's incurable, we'll find out what you are. Did you know when the doctor says it's incurable, God is still on his throne? God is on his throne. When Paul is starting a church at Ephesus, God is on his throne when Paul is preaching on Mars Hill. But bless your heart, God is on his throne while Paul's in the depths of the Philippian jail. God is on his throne when John Bunyan preached and thousands came to Christ. But God is still on his throne when John Bunyan spent 12 years in the Bedford prison. God was on his throne when John the Beloved was up there on the Mount of Transfiguration. But God was just as much on his throne when John was exiled to Patmos. God is on his throne when you're employed, and God's on his throne when you're unemployed. God's on his throne when you're well, but God is also on his throne when you're sick. You have nothing else to praise God about, throw back your shoulders and say, hallelujah, bless God. He's still on his throne. He's still on his throne. He's still on his throne. What's the secret? Preacher, how in the world, when the shadows come and the midnight comes, how in the world can I take it? I tell you how you take it. I tell you how I take it. It's those thousands and tens of thousands of hours I've spent in those woods out there walking with my God. It's those hours I've spent fellowshipping with my God and talking with Him. And He walked with me and He talked with me and He told me I was His own. And the joy we shared as we tarried there, none other has ever known. Let me tell you something, folks, in the valley today, in the valley of sickness, in the valley of bereavement, in the valley of financial stress, whatever it is, raise your valley up today. Take it while you're in the valley and you'll make it back to the mountaintop. But the tragedy is, the heart aching tragedy is, how many people in this room this morning, you'll get discouraged. You'll get discouraged in the valley. Valleys will come to your life and you'll get discouraged. And you'll make some foolish decision. I got a letter the other day. A fellow was in prison. Used to go to Hammond Baptist High School. Graduated from Hammond Baptist High School. Wrote me a letter and said, "Dear Brother Hiles, I'm in jail. You may not want to write to me or even hear from me. I graduated from Hammond Baptist High School. I was a good Christian. I participated in a lot of the activities. I was a good Christian. But," he said, "something happened in my home. I got discouraged. I went out one night, and in discouragement, I did something I should have done." He said, "That one night launched me into a life of sin and crime, and now I'm in the penitentiary in an eastern state." He said, "All because when I was discouraged, I did something foolish." He was a good kid. We have a fellow that came to our rescue mission one time, told me this story. I don't know whether it's true or not, but he told me. He said, "I was an evangelist down south. A man owed me some money. I went to find that man. Somebody said he was in a tavern. I went to that tavern to collect the money that man owed me, and while I was there, I took a drink. And I went down and down and down and down, till finally," he said, "I stumbled into the rescue mission a hopeless drunk." Why? Because his valley was not high enough. Ladies and gentlemen, while you are down, be strong. Be strong. You'll do something that'll keep you from ever seeing the mountaintop again. You're looking at a fellow who aims to see the mountaintop again. Yeah, you're looking at a fellow, I'm going to be up there on that mountaintop. And you know why I'm going to be on that mountaintop? Because my valley is high enough where I am going to make it. And you can too. Talked last night to a precious lady. Has four children, rearing them alone. And she said, "What can I do?" And I told her a few things. She said, "But it's hard. It's hard." I know it's hard. But let me tell you about some other ladies in the church who've reared their children for years like that. Let me tell you how proud they are when they see their son behind the pulpit preaching a sermon. Let me tell you how proud they are when they see their son getting his degree from Hiles Anderson College last week. I'm saying, if you just don't get too far down while you're in the valley and despair and give up and do something foolish. I've talked to dozens and dozens of our former college students who said, "I was in college, I got discouraged, I quit, I came home, and my life is wrecked and ruined." Sitting in Rochester Hills Baptist Church in Rochester Hills, Michigan. A fellow was preaching before me, and I was sitting back in the back, just walked in. A little lady walked up, and she handed me a note, and the note said, "I love you, Dr. Hiles." She said, "Could I talk to you?" I did talk to her after the service, and she told me how she was in Hiles Anderson College. She got discouraged. Financially and every way, she got discouraged. She said, "I quit at a low moment." She said, "I came back home. I got with the wrong fella." She said, "Now I'm not married and I'm pregnant. What can I do? Can you help me?" Of course I'll help her. Mr. Sumner wouldn't like it, but I'll help her anyway. Sure I'll help her. Sure I'll help her. Yeah, I'll help her. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I'll help anybody that's fallen to get back up. That's Bible as much as John 3:16 is Bible. Sure I'll help her. And I did. But the tragedy is, that little girl, her valley was too low. If she had raised that valley, she would not have left Hiles Anderson College. I'll tell you what you are when you want to go home. I'll tell you what you are when you want to despair. I'll tell you what you are when you want to quit. Now, I'm looking at a sea of faces, but I don't see a sea of faces. I see individuals. I know you. I know who you are. I know your heartaches. I know your burdens. I know your sorrows. I'm not trying this morning to tell you how strong I am. I'm trying to tell you how strong you can be. I'm trying to tell you this morning that by God's grace you can say with the Apostle Paul, when I'm my weakest, I'm still strong. When I'm my least happy, I'm still happy. When I'm in my valley, I'm still higher than most folks are on their mountaintops. By the grace of God, just hang in there. Hang in there, fellow that's got cancer. Just make it one more day. I'll never forget that lady in Texas. She had cancer. Had a little boy to rear by herself. Doctor told her she had terminal cancer. She told me this story. She went alone with God. She said, "Dear God, I got a boy to raise." She said, "I've got to raise him, and I can't raise him if I'm dead. There's nobody going to raise him if I'm gone. Now, Lord, I'm going to stay alive today. I'm not going to die today. Hear what you say. I'm not going to die today." She said, "I'll see you tomorrow, about tomorrow." She came back the next day, and she said, "Dear God, I can't die today. My boy needs me today. I'm not going to die today. I'm not going to do it. I don't care what happens. I'm not going to die today." She made it. Next day she came back and she said, "Not today either." She just nagged at God. She said, "Not today either." She reared that boy. He became a fine young man. Why? Because she said, "I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to die." I bet God said, "My soul. She's trying to run my business. I know your heart's heavy. Enough burdens in this place this morning to sink a giant ship. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Our God is the God of the valley as much as He is the God of the mountain."
God never came to Stephen while he was doing his work and doing well. God came to Stephen when Stephen was dying and Stephen saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That's always when Jesus shows up, when you're in the valley. God didn't come to Isaiah when everything was on top side. God came to Isaiah when Isaiah was on the bottom. God did not come to Jeremiah when Jeremiah was on the top. He came to Jeremiah when he was in prison. God did not come to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Jesus did not come to them when they were in college in the Chaldeans. He came to them when they were in the fiery furnace. I'm saying Jesus does not always come to us visibly. We're on the mountaintop, but blessed be God, He comes when we're in the valley. So raise your valley today. Raise your valley. Raise your low spots. And say with the Apostle Paul, "I'm weak, but hot dog, I'm still strong. I'm strong when I'm weak. My weakest link is a strong link. My valley is high. And there will be more mountains because I'm strong in the valley." What's your burden this morning? What is it you thought about first thing when you woke up this morning? What is it that you wished weren't true and you woke up to find it was still there? What is it? What is it when you turned over last night in bed you thought about and you hoped you could go back to sleep but you're afraid you couldn't because it's on your mind so much? What is it? What is it? What is it that keeps you from working like you want to work and thinking like you want to think? What is it that forces its way into your mind like a criminal breaks into your house? What is it? What is it? While it's there, be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. That's the time. Raise your valley. And then you can say with the grace of God, "I'm weak, but I'm strong." Did you ever see anybody that you heard they had cancer and you heard the news had been broken to them and you hated to see them because you're afraid of how they'd be? And by the time you got there, they were strong. Think about Willis Gifford, one of our deacons years ago. 7 days and nights he spent at St. Margaret's Hospital trying to find out what was wrong with him. Couldn't find out what was wrong. They came to my office one day and said, "Brother Gifford has cancer." They just told him, "Would you go to the hospital, please, and encourage him and lift his spirits?" I walked in the hospital wondering what I would say. But I didn't have to say anything. Because Willis Gifford looked at me and said, "Preacher, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Shall we pray?